On today's show, tens of thousands of people across Canada have been and are actively supporting, challenging, and protesting against increased immigration enforcement on our streets, as well as protesting against, in general, the Canadian immigration system. I have a couple returnee interviewees, as well as a friend. I have Drew Garvey, who's an organizer with Young Communist League, and Eduardo Huesca, who is an organizer with Justicia for Migrant Workers and Guelph's local migrant justice advocacy group, Fuerza Puerza, as well as Paul, who is a worker under the Seasonal Agricultural Workers Program, which is a temporary foreign worker program in Canada. They'll be talking to us about why this is so. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
A little closer to the mic, yeah. Can you all help folks out there better understand why this evening many people are gathering to a Status for All picnic in Guelph with the message that the Federal Citizenship and Immigration Minister Jason Kenney is not welcome in Guelph?
Sure, I can speak a bit to that.
It was important for us to organize our picnic as a form of taking up counter space to the picnic organized by the Conservative Party. We wanted to show Jason Kenney that there's a growing community in Guelph that doesn't support his politics and his presence, and we don't welcome him. We wanted to show that, you know, community members don't support violent raids or the criminalizations of individuals seeking a refugee status or refuge. We don't support, you know, his using of terrorist propaganda to promote xenophobia and have people criminalized. And we don't stand for the continuous mistreatment of individuals working under this country's temporary worker program and the conditions that they labor in, or the disposability that they're continuously being kept at and, you know, being sent home if they get hurt or if they speak out. Kind of goes together with a campaign that No One Is Illegal has been organizing, where communities follow Jason Kenney and organize these counter events to really contest the things that he says when he shows up into communities and tries to paint his politics as pro-immigrant and, you know, paint himself as supporting immigrants.
And if I can just add something, I think it's especially important right now in the context of the recent Tamil refugees being in the media. And there's been a real whipping up of kind of a frenzy of xenophobia on the part of the Harper Tories about, you know, human trafficking and how can we handle this boatload of refugees, when in fact the reality is these Tamil refugees are dropping the bucket of, you know, the refugees we take in each year, and they've applied to be refugees in keeping with Canadian and international law. And so you have the Harper Tories blatantly giving misinformation and kind of creating this kind of anti-immigrant mentality in the media. And I think it's important to remind the general public that don't believe everything you hear and make sure you look at the bigger picture here. And yeah, that these people are fleeing real violence in their own home countries and they deserve to be treated with respect and dignity.
Can any of you talk about the deportation situation, especially the deportations that have been taking place more recently, and how these are taking place in Canada?
So yeah, under Kenney and the Conservative administration, we have been seeing an intense rise in U.S.-style violent immigration raids. So they began mostly last year around summertime. So in these situations, we're seeing immigration officers raiding workplaces, homes, racially profiling individuals and communities, following and harassing individuals on buses, at shopping centers. We're also seeing a lot of raids in agricultural-based communities, on raids on migrant farm workers. For example, in the community of Leamington, Ontario, where there has been a lot of raids on Mexican migrant farm workers as well as Thai workers. And something that should also be focused on and really critiqued is just the intense violence used by immigration officers. For example, in the raids in Leamington, we're hearing reports of individuals being, you know, detained at gunpoint, handcuffed, and in one situation, put on buses, left on buses for an extremely long period of time without the ability to sit down, and the handcuffs, you know, tightened to the point of leaving bruisings around wrists. And then, you know, individuals are sent to Rectal Detention Center in Toronto, and just, you know, really intensely criminalized. And this criminalization, it's important to kind of understand, is part of a broader politics of fear, really being pushed by Kenney and the Conservatives, a politics that tries to really paint migrants as criminals, as dangerous, as individuals really breaking the law and therefore, you know, deserving to be deported. And, you know, we haven't seen any attempts to get to the core of the issue or highlight the core of the issue. That is, you know, we're seeing globally huge populations of individuals not being able to sustain themselves, sustain a livelihood. And, you know, this being directly connected to the policies that countries like Canada and other countries in the global north are perpetuating, economic policies, military policies, and not understanding that, you know, individuals are being displaced and then are, you know, coming and crossing borders seeking, you know, opportunities to sustain themselves, to seek a livelihood, to send money home. And, you know, that we can't generalize all these individuals as criminals. And more so the ones, you know, individuals working here are sustaining, you know, industries, and our country is making huge amounts of money off of their labor. And instead of, you know, respecting these individuals and valuing, again, their contribution, you know, these politics of fear are really getting people to really see them as, you know, as these criminals and not stand up in support of stopping, you know, these raids. And this is where it really becomes really important to combat, you know, this xenophobia and really understand the broader picture. Also, another point that is important to highlight is the fact that a lot of the individuals being raided upon actually came to this country under Canada's temporary foreign worker programs and are actually pushed underground because of just the exploitative conditions that they face under these programs, and the fact that these programs continue to keep individuals in precarious situations where they're not provided safety to voice their concerns against, you know, health and safety violations, against abuses of employers. And so oftentimes these situations are so bad that they're pressured to just go elsewhere to work at other places. And because, you know, the work permits are tied to that one employer, and that's how these programs work, they then drop out of the program and start working underground and then, you know, face these immigration raids. And so it's kind of a cycle of where, you know, this broken immigration system and these unjust temporary foreign worker programs just continue to push people, you know, deeper underground into worse and worse situations and let them kind of be inflicted or violence inflicted on them.
In the recent year, I've been reading more about deaths of people who are working under the temporary foreign worker programs in Canada. How is the provincial government working to prevent the tragedies like fatalities that the migrant worker community faces and protect people working under these programs like the seasonal agricultural worker program?
So I guess the reality is that the government has really ignored and kept people very unsafe in their jobs. And I mean, folks under the temporary worker program, there's been a lot of documentation of just how dangerous the industries where temporary foreign workers are working. You know, these are amongst the most dangerous industries. You have agriculture, you have construction, types of manufacturing. And yeah, like across the board, frontline people working with these communities have reported that, you know, individuals aren't getting health and safety training, not receiving personal protective equipment if they're working jobs that should require this kind of equipment. For example, I have experience working with farm workers and have reported numerous cases of individuals given the task of spraying pesticides and not being given any sort of protective equipment. So, yeah, in short, the government has really ignored this issue and left people, you know, supporting a lot of our this country's industries at great personal risk. There has been fatalities under the program. And obviously, because they managed to have a big enough bleep on the radar of media, there are investigations. But in terms of really addressing the fundamental issues within this program that leaves people disposable, unable to speak out, you know, if conditions are unsafe, no one's addressed it. Neither the Liberal government or the Conservative government. And again, it's just left people really insecure and at risk. And I think Paul, he can definitely speak to that as well.
Okay, so we're learning that the Canadian Conservative government is the opposite to working towards zero tolerance for migrant fatalities, and seems like that's the same direction with freedom of speech. Minister Kenney, he often, as you said earlier, paints immigrants as violent and criminalizes them. Critics of Jason Kenney have been calling the minister of censorship and deportation. And you've talked a bit about the deportation side of that. Based on current news, what are your opinions on Jason Kenney and freedom of speech?
My opinions of Jason Kenney's influence on freedom of speech are not good, actually. He's done a number of things that are particularly disturbing over the past, since he's been Minister of Censorship and Deportation, actually. One of them was the Canadian Arab Federation, which is a large NGO in Canada. One of the things it does is help new Arab immigrants settle in Canada, and one of the ways they do that is they have this ESL program, which was funded by the government. And the Canadian Arab Federation took a stance against the Israeli occupation, and it was around the time of the Gaza massacre, but it could have been before, actually, I shouldn't say that. But anyway, it was around a time where there was very intense, and well, there still is ongoing brutality in the state of Israel against the Palestinian people and the occupation. So there was a statement released by the Canadian Arab Federation, and it was critical of Jason Kenney's role, that Jason Kenney's very openly pro-Zionist. He attends a lot of Zionist events, and he's totally uncritically supportive of the Israeli government. So after this was released by the Canadian Arab Federation, their funding to the ESL program was totally cut off. So based on political stances that NGOs are taking, they're finding their funding, which actually goes to help immigrants, being cut off. Like, what does this say about free speech in Canada and the right to criticize the government? The thing that got a lot of play in the press, but it was just so shocking, really, was that George Galloway being barred from entering Canada. George Galloway is was a legally elected MP in Britain, member of Parliament, and he was actually denied entry to Canada. And the first justification given by the Department of Immigration was because of his views on the war in Afghanistan. Now, like, this is really problematic because of an MP, a British MP's views on the war in Afghanistan, you're not going to let him into a country on a speaking tour. He had three or so dates across the country speaking on the war in Afghanistan and on Palestine, and he wasn't allowed to complete a speaking tour. Is this a danger to, the danger to Canada and the Canadian people? So it actually changed, the story changed, and it became that George Galloway was associated with terrorists because he had visited Palestine, he visited Gaza, and brought the government of Gaza and the people of Gaza things like fishing boats, ambulances, diapers, like just essential things during the blockade of Gaza, which is where the Israeli government has allowed no building supplies in after a massive incursion, invasion, massacre, whatever you want to call it. And he broke the siege and brought all these supplies. And the Harper government and Jason Kenney was saying that, because he gave aid to terrorists, which is the legally elected government in Gaza, that he wouldn't be allowed in. Although, like, they had now changed their tune from talking about the war in Afghanistan. They thought this would fly a little better, I guess. But, I mean, come on. A legally elected MP in Britain giving a legally elected government in Gaza ambulances and diapers and fishing boats. What does that say for freedom of speech in Canada as well? This is kind of a thing that keeps on popping up with Jason Kenney. He likes to call people terrorists and talk about how, we have to be careful about our immigration system letting in terrorists, and this is coming up again with the Tamil migrants again being kind of whipped up in the media, which is causing a lot of xenophobia. Let's look at who the real terrorists are and who Jason Kenney's friends are, which includes the state of Israel, which is, the leading breaker of international law throughout since the post-war period, since its founding. And also Colombia is another big one that Jason Kenney's close to, that the Harper Conservatives have signed a free trade agreement with recently. They're the leading pillar of trade unionists on the planet currently, and he seems to love those guys. So I think this all, you have to look at it from the bigger picture of what is causing refugees and forced migration around the world in the first place. And a lot of it is things that Canadian foreign policy actually supports, like the Colombian government, like the Israeli government, like or at least tacitly supports, like the war in Sri Lanka or the war in Tamil Nadu. Like, these are problems that we help cause, and then we don't want to deal with the after effects, or we want to further marginalize and further criminalize these people after we've wreaked havoc on them. And this is only militarily. I mean, we could talk about the economic circumstances too. I mean, in for example, NAFTA and the free trade agreements that we, and globalization, and just Canada being the kind of economy it is, and the role we play in the world with our imperialism, with our companies, for example, mining companies all over the world and displacing people. But anyways, I'm being off track. Yeah, I wanted to also talk a bit about last year. Jason Kenney made some revisions to the, I believe it's like a citizen's handbook, but I don't think that's the right word. It's a guide that's given to new immigrants to study, and it talks a bit about Canadian history. And he actually removed the section that talked about queer rights, the struggle for queer rights and, like, attaining those rights within Canada, which shows, like, also a kind of dangerous, socially conservative side of him, that he would intervene and take these. So, you know, in terms of censorship, he's also big into historical revisionism, I guess, just removing some of the things that we ought to be proud of as being Canadians.
Can you, or can any of you, help everyone out there take a glimpse into some of the recent significant changes to the immigration system, which add to the boundless list of unhealthy structures existing as part of it?
Sure. Well, yeah, and I'm sure there's a lot of people who could talk more kind of eloquently than I can, but it's important to also trace problems with the immigration system. Like, it's inherent in Canadian history. And again, this is, I don't have a huge knowledge on every, you know, detailed historical process of it, but, you know, we know about the Chinese railroad workers and the legacy of that, of the Canadian state using migrants and migrant labor and just full-out exploitation and using immigration as a tool to use or to gain, you know, labor and exploit it, right? Also, and a big thing was the change to the point system, which happened in 2001, and that actually happened under the Liberals. So this also shows that, you know, the problems, obviously the Tories have been just making the situation worse, but we have yet to see a party really take action and really look at immigration and the issues of migration and forced migration in a really kind of honest way. Anyways, under the Liberals in 2001, there was a change to the point system, which pushed up the requirements or the points that you would receive and made the criteria to come into the country under full status and a full basket of rights based on, you know, high levels of education, income, and just really targeting very educated immigrants, but with the recognition that, you know, we continue to have labor gaps within our country in a lot of the industries of considered low-skilled. Basically, that was a big change because that's when a lot of the temporary worker programs opened up and the occupations that you could hire migrant workers for became broadened, got broadened. So this was an important moment where our immigration system then very visibly and strategically was able to bring in people who they saw as, you know, educated in all this, but then fulfill our labor needs through these other programs that bring in people but don't give them, you know, rights and the ability not only for status but just for, you know, decent conditions of work and not to be able to be deported on in just one moment. Yeah. Do you?
I don't know. You were talking about the temporary foreign worker programs. Do you think, Paul, would you like to say a few words about your experiences in the program?
Yeah, sure. Well, my situation, what I really want to see change is like the way all the boss has been treated and the workers here, because some of us really are working under some really deplorable condition, which accommodation are concerned. And like, so that's the next thing again, where health concern is sometimes you fell sick on the job, you get an injury, and you explain it to your boss or whatever. You don't want to take it to the doctor, so sometimes you're sitting there for 3-4 days without you seeing a doctor, you know? And then there's a system that prevents us, they call it the liaison, and whenever you call them, sometimes it takes a week before they get to your farm. And, you know, when they come, they first, they talk to the boss. And, you know, you just don't know what's going on. So it's like you're just in a system where you're just one guy among a thousand. And if one guy fell sick, all they do is just shift him out of the program, bring in a new guy, and you forget about him. And what I see happening for most of us here at Farm Worker is use, abuse, and then disabuse, just let the guy hanging out there. Recently, I had an accident, which is so bad, which, you know, I damaged myself so bad. And my boss is saying then, it's your fault, but I was just in the field doing my job, and the accident occurred. And the report he sent to the liaison and to the WSIB service is like, I was at fault. And I know for sure it was my fault, you know. And I've been damaged so bad, I've received treatment. And, you know, all he wanted me to go back to work while I'm sick. I'm still receiving treatment, and he still wanted me to go back to work. I explained this to the WSIB, and, you know, they said there's no such thing as, what they call, monetary work or whatever. And the farm is just all hard work. And I can't afford to go out there. And right now he's in the process of wanting me to go home without receiving my treatment. What I wanted the government to realize, right, I came here as a fit, all right person, and now I'm being broken up and I have to go back home. And when I go home, the health care here is poor and I have to pay for that out of my own pocket without receiving no form of benefit at all. And I was come here safe and okay. So these are the situations I know as farm workers we face here. And I want to know what they can do to make the system better for us as farm workers here. That's all for now.
Yeah. And I mean, this Paul's case is one in many of workers under these temporary worker programs that have just been brought here and then just pretty much dumped without, you know, without resources, the liaison officers, again, not doing their job and having ulterior motives, obviously, to get money for their home countries. And Paul has been, you know, like he can speak to it himself, trying to navigate the medical system here is really complicated. And a lot of times, you know, folks don't even, if language is a barrier, folks can't even access frontline services, and let alone, you know, booking specialists and things like that. So it's just, yeah, these programs are in shambles, and they continue to open up the numbers and bring more people here. And no one's taking responsibility for, you know, let alone when something bad happens, but just to even make them decent.
And sorry if I can jump in quickly. I think the disposability of the workforce under the Temporary Foreign Workers Program is what Jason Kenney has not created, but definitely expanded exponentially. And, I mean, it's creating a two-tiered workforce where it's actually the exact opposite of the image that Kenney and the Tories portray of, you know, Canadian generosity being taken advantage of. No, we're taking advantage of these workers who work for Canadian bosses and for Canadian companies, and they're actually taken advantage of by us, and then they're eligible for very little benefits, and, you know, they can't even receive the treatment that they deserve and the respect that they need. So, I mean, it's important to get this image out there, the reality out there, and that's what we're going to be doing tonight.
Yeah, so if you come and attend the picnic, Paul's going to attend as well, so, you know, feel free, and you can talk to him more personally and hear more about just other stuff like we didn't get into because of time, but, you know, the visa requirements placed on Mexican migrants and the Czech Roma migrants as well, and just the changes to the temporary worker program under Kenney, all that stuff. So, yeah.
Can you tell us more about the Status for All picnic this evening? More of the details?
Sure. So it's at Riverside Park, and we've rented the small picnic area. So I think they have a green roof picnic shelter. The address to the park is 69 Maryland Drive. It starts at 5:30 to 8:30, and it's a potluck. And we're also going to have a soccer game as well, and different speakers speaking and music playing. So yeah, and there's going to be, again, speakers talking about particular issues to do with immigration and under Kenney and the Conservatives. And
we didn't even get into, like, half the stuff that Jason Kenney has done in his very short time as Minister of Censorship and Deportation. So you can learn about all that this evening, 5:30 at Riverside Park.
Mm-hmm. Come with banners and noisemakers.
And there'll be a piñata, too.
Right, and a soccer game, right?
Yeah.
At 6:30 it starts.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to...
Please come.
Okay.
And there'll be food. We ordered some good food also from some good eateries around Guelph. So.
Mm-hmm. From multicultural eateries. So it'll add to this multicultural event that we're trying to promote. Okay, well, thank you, Paul. So that was Paul and Eduardo, they're both with Justicia for Migrant Workers. Also, Eduardo works with Fuerza Parsa. You might have heard of them. They're a student-run organization here in Guelph. a local migrant justice group, and Drew Garvey. He is with Young Communist League.